Ladies and gentlemen, storytellers of all ages, lend your ears to co-hosts Brad and Philip as we delve into the Marketing Your Attraction podcast.
Welcome to episode 12 of Marketing Your Attraction. The main topic for this week is elements of the modern press kit. And before we get to that, we're going to jump through some news. But before we get to the news, I want to introduce my co-host, Brad. Brad, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Philip? It's great to be back for episode 12.
Yeah, we're like pre-recording this. So I don't know how great I'll be when this airs after like lots of additional traveling. But
right now we know we have a great episode planned. Our main topic is going to dive into, as you so concisely put it, elements of the modern press kit. Talking about how do you create media press releases that actually matter and are useful for the journalists, influencers, and other media outlets that you're reaching today, and not ones that were really relevant 15 to 20 years ago. Before we jump into that, we have a couple of news stories to cover. Start us off, Philip.
Yes, to the news. The first one I want to link to is from the Content Marketing Institute, which, by the way, I'm in love with. I mean, I love Joe and Robert and everything about them and the Content Marketing Institute and everything that it does. So if I could put all their articles in here, I would every time forever. But it's not often that I see something on Reddit for marketing. So I kind of snagged this one. This is just such a great, like phenomenal article on using Reddit for marketing. I mean, I especially like that it goes into like what Reddit is, and it explains kind of like the Reddit culture, and it explains all of these items that I think if you don't use Reddit, like my friends use Reddit and I don't really use it that often. So I think if you don't use Reddit, you might not understand the culture of it. I just like it also because it's like, it's like Reddit for marketing, tempting, you know, and then it talks about like, in the last 30 days, Reddit had nearly 60 million unique visitors in the US alone, more than 1 billion visits and over 8 billion page views. That's a lot. And then it's like, but it's fraught with peril. You know, I just like how it goes into really like understanding that you can't go on here and be a regular marketer. I mean, you have to go on here like kind of with a Reddit mindset and kind of like add value to the conversation. And kind of put it in Reddit terms. So I just love that. So I think this is very interesting, especially because there's a Reddit for everything. So I think it's kind of like an untapped market, I think, for attractions, because I've really not heard of too many attractions using Reddit at all. And it could be a very powerful tool to encourage kind of brand ambassadors. So
yeah, and I think it's a great article, and like everything the Content Marketing Institute does, very thorough, has a lot of examples and guides you through it. It's like you said, Reddit can be overwhelming for people who are not immersed in it every day. It has a very specific culture, personality, even a language in a lot of ways of how people communicate on there. And I'm by no means a Reddit expert, but I first started paying attention more and more to Reddit like 2 or 3 years ago, when we started using a tool called Crimson Hexagon, which analyzes social listening across the internet. One of the big sources of that conversation was from Reddit, and that was previously sort of hidden from us. And so as I started to see more and more of that, of those conversations on Reddit, I realized just what an active community that is for theme parks, for attractions, and all sorts of interests. So it's definitely something to pay attention to. And if you've never heard of Reddit, or you haven't checked in to see, you know, what different subreddits are and what the conversation is, I would definitely recommend checking out this article and taking another look at Reddit. But just make sure you're not logging in and trying to spam, because you will be banned so quickly, and they will make fun of you, and it will just hurt your brand. It was nice to see that this article didn't have like a top 5 ways to market to Reddit in 5 minutes.
Yep. I love it. The second news article I want to pull in here is from the Globe News Wire. And it's just a regular press release, but it's just really interesting. It's about Contently announcing Contently One. So Contently, I'm going to read here. Contently, the content marketing solution of choice for the world's most valuable brands, today announced Contently One, the industry's first all-in-one content solution. I guess basically the thing that was interesting to me is that it's kind of like an all-in-one creation tool, and that they have on-demand, like on-demand talent found only at Contently, which to me is just what stuck out is just very interesting I haven't seen that from another person. Basically they're like, well, we're the software and we're everything. It's kind of like including, you know, like we just had an episode basically on outsourcing. And it's like, well, what if your measurement and editorial calendar was also the thing that allowed you to hire your voice actors? It's very interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen, I haven't used Contently One, but I think it's really interesting that they're bringing together a platform and also a marketplace. So it's sort of a all-in-one, which I haven't seen someone do before. So I think that, you know, that could be an interesting solution for some of the bigger attractions. And, you know, as all of these new tools are out there for digital marketing, this could be another one to keep an eye on. We don't use a content marketing tool quite yet. We do it all sort of manually and with a hodgepodge of internal and external people. But just like, you know, we didn't use a Sprout Social or, other social listening, social customer service tools a few years ago. And as that became a bigger and bigger part, we were able to optimize that by using different platforms. So I'll have to check this out.
Moving on to the main topic, elements of the modern press kit. What do you think, Brad? What are the elements of modern press kit?
Well, I think you have to understand the audience. And the audience for press kits have changed a lot, both in terms of the outlets that you're talking to. You're no longer talking to, obviously, just newspaper, magazine, and TV journalists and writers out there. They might be a part of the audience that you're talking to, but the vast majority of the outlets that most attractions and most, you know, industries out there, you're talking to bloggers, you're talking to influencers, you're talking to digital outlets, and these people are cranking out a ton of content. Unfortunately, we are no longer in the days when a journalist would take a press release that was 3 pages, carefully analyze it, call you on the phone, ask follow-up questions, go down to your attraction, take photos, and craft this really interesting, thoughtful, insightful, comprehensive article. What happens now is a media kit, with a press release, is sent out. And a lot of times, even newspaper journalists, I see this a lot in Southern California, they're having to crank out stories. So they will basically just copy and paste from that press release into their story. Sometimes they'll add sort of an outline or a filler around that. It's a couple of, you know, whether it's their opinion or just a little bit more information from an interview with a guest, and they hit publish. And that's a best case scenario. A lot of times what happens is a media outlet, whether it's the theme park website, influencer, you know, they get a press release, they copy and paste, they shoot out whatever image you have, and it's all about that speed. Who's going to get out that message the fastest? And that's if you can get in front of them too, because there's just a barrage of pitching. So that's changed so much in the last few years. I'm sure you've seen that on your side of the attraction industry as well.
I've seen it kind of, I guess, from both sides, you know. It's weird because there's this like weird curve where like, I feel like people are finally starting to like use press releases more regularly. It just feels like there's more press releases, you know, in general. And it's just a lot, you know, a lot of content that gets from the media side that gets put to you, and a lot of content that's just like, you know, kind of terrible, you know, like And it's just, yeah, like you said, I mean, from my perspective, you know, we don't really have time and it's like not really good content that's given to you. And then if we have to chase stuff down, it's just not worth it, you know, which I'm sure will be more of what you'll talk about. But, you know, on my end, like, you know, it's like, is it written, you know, is it formatted properly or am I going to have to rewrite it? Are they burying the lead? Does it even have a point? You know, like, how receptive is the media contact? A lot of times it's like media contact and they are just at an agency and they're not really going to have any information for you besides just like the information that's already in the press kit, which is just not helpful. And then it's like there are photos, but the photos aren't the right photos. You know, like the photos that I want are photos of people in them that do not have any text on them because I need that as like the header image of what I'm going to post. They need to be high resolution and that's hardly ever in there. So there was an event that an agency sent me information on that I thought was an interesting event last Halloween. But then I asked, and I'm being super vague just because I don't, you know, I don't want to name names, but it was a food event. And I asked, you know, like for, there was one picture included and it was like, I think like 300 pixels wide. And I was like, do you have any additional pictures of the food or of the area or even like of the venue or just anything for this? Because it was just a press release and an email basically with the press contact, which is the agency. And I was like, well, what type of menu items, you know, like what did they bring in like a expert taster or like, you know, how did they decide on this stuff and everything? And just like, well, we don't really have any answers that we can ask after opening. And I was like, okay, well, do you have any extra pictures? I'm like, well, we don't have any pictures, but the photographer, but the, I'm sure we can get pictures for you, after the event. And I'm like, well, what good is that going to do? Like they were like, we can get pictures at the event. And I'm like, yeah. How yeah, is that going to help?
Exactly. And I know it's a struggle on the attraction side, right? Because if you're bringing in outside vendors or you're rushing to try to get an event put together, it can be hard to try to get things ahead of time, but you really have to think about what story are you crafting? What is that end result going to look like? What I always talk about with my team is, think about that ideal article and then let's ensure that everything in the media kit enables journalists and influencers and media outlets to create that ideal source of content, whether it's a tweet, Facebook post, video, an insightful article. You have to give them the resources to do that. An example, like Philip said, is you want to have HD photos, HD video in there. Sometimes it's even worth taking the time to create Twitter and Facebook friendly formatted images. And you, yep. You can easily Google what those sizes are and put that into a media kit. Make sure you have PNG versions of the logo. That always kills me whenever I'm sent a media kit to review. And I see that there are just JPEG versions of the logo. Because of course, what these outlets want to do is they want to put their own spin on it if they have the time and they want to throw the logo on a header, or they want to take some of your images and, you know, move them around a little bit and customize them and throw the logo on there. So you have to give them the tools to make it that, to make it their own. And you can't expect an outlet to reply back to you asking for all of this information and then, you know, wait days or a week or more to send it to them. Like the world just moves way too fast. There's way too many pitches coming in. I have a couple of good friends that, you know, work in the media industry and they've shown me their email inboxes and it's just insane. You know, the local news in Los Angeles receives thousands of pitches a day. I'm not kidding, thousands. It's just insane. And a lot of them are just automated and just poorly thrown together. So when you're creating that media kit, like I mentioned, understand the audience. Understand that a lot of that content is going to be copy and pasted. So make sure that it's written in a way that's understandable to that end audience, which is your prospective guests. Don't make it overly complicated or you know, spruced up or anything like that. Make sure it's understandable, it's conversational, that if the average person on the street read it, that they would be interested in attending your event, and make sure that all the elements in that media kit allow that outlet to craft that story. And that's the story that you want to be able to tell. So those are just a couple of ideas for a press kit. And moving on to talking a little bit about media pitches, because as Philip mentioned, you want to really think about who you're pitching to. And that's a much bigger conversation. But I wanted to touch on it a little bit here, because I've seen so many bad pitches. I've even had people pitch me. I'm not even a media outlet, so somehow my name gets on a list and I'm getting pitches for like random, haunted houses, or what did I get a few days ago? I had a random pitch for some like enterprise software thing, and it's very odd. So my advice is always don't just randomly find lists. Take the time to try to build relationships with outlets, whether it's a local influencer. And you could just do this all through email. You don't have to like take them to coffee or call them on the phone and do all this manual stuff. You could just shoot an email. But what's important is you understand what that person is covering. And you have to make sure that your attraction is something that that person's going to cover. There's no reason to email a food reporter if your attraction has nothing to do with food. That's just a waste of time and is going to just fill up that person's inbox. So make sure you customize your pitch and make it a human pitch. Don't send someone a 3-paragraph email talking all about your attraction. Things that have worked really well personally for me, and I'm not 100% on the media side. We have a great publicity team at Knott's Berry Farm, but I dip my toe into it a lot because so much of media is now digital marketing. And so I do interact with outlets quite a bit. What I've found that works for me is you just email and say, hey, you know what? I saw that you covered this article, you covered this attraction, you covered this business that's connected to this attraction. We have this coming up. Here's some information on it. Here's our EPK. I'd love to answer any questions. Keep it casual, keep it short and sweet. That's what I found works really well for me. Do you have any quick tips on media pitching? I'm sure we'll probably do an episode about this, but I do feel like it's important to mention in this episode.
Yeah, I think everything you said, I agree with. I would just add kind of off of one of our previous episodes to write to them individually, which is something that we've talked about, I don't know, like a few episodes back about kind of like, basically, you're writing to that person individually. So even if you do like kind of copy and paste some segments in, make sure that even the segments you copy in are like written to that person, like written to address the person. So, like for instance, earlier today I was editing one of the articles for the magazine, and I was just kind of going through, and we also write that to read directly to the reader, even though that's not like too typical. So like kind of the old sense of it is, like attractions can achieve this level of elevation when the operators do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. So like that would be rewritten to your attraction can achieve elevation when your team is able to execute the following things. So I would say that that's my only kind of add in there, is kind of understand that like, even some of the stuff you're copying and pasting, like make sure it's not kind of written in that verbose kind of business media speak thing, try and make personalize it for the person individually.
Yeah. Don't make it sound like you're writing to 100 people. There's nothing more insulting than that. And I would also say, try to, whether you're putting in your media kit or in the email, think of ways that they could expand if they're interested in expanding the story beyond just, hey, there's this new event coming out. A lot of times we'll say, hey, here's, 5 aspects of the event that are really unique or different. Here's a different angle of it. When we're writing to business reporters, especially at bigger newspapers and bigger outlets, you don't want to just send them, hey, I'm having this new event, but you want to talk about, for example, a scary farm. Hey, Halloween is this huge growing industry. I think it's like close to $10 billion a year or something that the Halloween industry in North America or the United States is at now. This is an interesting angle. And our attraction has also been growing over these years. And this is kind of a cool idea that's not just all about our attraction, but our attraction can be included in it. Those articles are great, especially for those bigger publications where they're not going to, you know, like a Bloomberg or the LA Times are probably not going to be writing an entire article that's going to be in the front page that's all about your attraction. But if you can give them a pitch that is broader, whether it's about the industry, the region, new technology, that's worked really well for some of the VR stuff that we've done. Is you kind of bundle it into, hey, this huge moment, this momentum of this technology that's happening. And, oh yeah, my attraction is also part of it. So then you get interviewed or your attraction gets mentioned in the article, but it's not all about your attraction. Those different ideas can help turn what would have been a small mention in the community calendar of events in a newspaper into a big, you know, front page feature article. So keep that in mind too. You want to try to make that writer, that influencer's job as easy as possible. And that includes everything from formatting pictures, like I mentioned, providing high quality video assets, making sure that your press release is ready to be copy and pasted and makes sense to their audience, giving them story ideas. Just spoon feed it, make it as easy as possible for these people. They're busy. They want to feel special. They are getting dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of these media pitches every day or week. So just keep that in mind. And then I know the one note that you had, Philip, too, was make it SEO friendly too. So as you're thinking about what are the keywords that people are going to be using when they're searching for my attraction, include that in your press mm-hmm. release, include that in your word descriptions. Word descriptions are another big thing that attractions should be including. I think every single time we do a media kit, we do a 300 word, 150 word, 100 word, 50 word word description in addition to our press release / media alert. And those word descriptions are really useful as summary of articles and then also on social media. So think about that too. And when I say SEO friendly, I'm talking about search engine optimization. So for example, if we're writing about Knott's Merry Farm, which is our seasonal Christmas event, when we're putting together these word descriptions and this copy, we're going to work with our SEO team at corporate because we have one. But if you don't have one, you can just think about, okay, well, what are the most popular keywords that someone would use to search for Christmas? And there's different free keyword tools out there. But to give a quick example, just use your common sense. Like, okay, people are going to be thinking about, you know, holiday things to do, family Christmas events, Christmas tree lightings. And as you're thinking about those and you start Googling them and seeing, oh, wow, there's a lot of people searching for these things, naturally include those into your word descriptions and into your copy and press release. Don't overuse them. You don't want to sound unnatural, but there's usually an easy way to work those words, those keywords into word descriptions and into press releases. And that can really help with SEO ranking. So when someone's searching on Google for things to do in LA for Christmas time, you know, your attraction comes up first.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the SEO game, that'll be a separate episode, I'm sure. But for this purpose, it's really just to make sure it makes sense within the context and that you've kind of thought about the range of context. And there's tools, I'm sure when we do the episode on it, there's a lot of tools that can help you figure that out. But basically, the long and the short of this is sometimes when you write things, you write them from a level of like expertise, kind of like inside baseball talk, but you are writing for the people that are going to be reading it in the news source you're saying it to. So they will not have that level of expertise or inside baseball. So that's kind of the point, is you have to make sure it wraps into that wording where they would actually be finding it. So that's what makes content relevant. So and SEO nowadays is so advanced. It's really just like relevant content relevance. So you're just trying to make it easy for them to know when your content is relevant and when it's not relevant. And then the other thing too is that I put on here as well is make sure that when you upload all your images that you label the file names, like label them with the caption of what the image is, like photo of hang time courtesy of Knott's Berry Farm, or like photo of hang time at night or whatever, you know, and then courtesy of, so that like that's in the actual image itself. You don't, exactly. You don't want just the whole random number, like image 5768. Like I get that a lot too. And that's crazy. Cause it's not good for the website and it's not good for you. It's for nobody.
Exactly. Yeah. I think all of our advice is basically sums up to make their job as easy as possible. So irresistible and easy for them to be able to promote your attraction. And there's a lot of different small little things you need to think about. So unlike a lot of our episodes, this is a little bit more tactical, but I think it is important because, you know, if you do a lot of these small little things, they add up to a lot more coverage, and hopefully once you do it for a while, you start to build long lasting relationships with media outlets. And every single time they see an email from you, they know, oh, hey, there's a good story here. Now this is a good resource. And over the years that can add up to thousands, tens of thousands, millions of dollars in free media coverage for your attraction. Awesome. Well, so that's a little bit about elements of the modern press kit. I think as we talked about throughout the episode, we'll be expanding on a few of these topics like media pitching, search engine optimization in future episodes. But if there's other parts of media pitching, press kits that you have questions about or you want to learn more about, make sure you head to marketingyourattraction.com, sign up, put your email address in there, subscribe to the podcast as well. But when you put your email address into marketingyourattraction.com, you'll receive our contact information and you can continue the conversation with us and let us know what you want to see in future episodes. Speaking of the future, Philip, I know you have a very big event coming up pretty soon.
Yes. Our annual leadership symposium for seasonal attractions is on July 30th. And there's a coupon code here that I have for listeners for $30 off. It's Gantam Insider. And the link is in the show notes, but you can use that for $30 off. And early bird pricing is available until the end of May. So you have a few weeks. And this year it's going to be on the Queen Mary in Long Beach on July 30th. And our magazine will mail out in June, and you can get a free subscription to that by going to seasonalentertainmentsource.com. Yes, free, like a free physical subscription. Like we'll mail it to you, like we'll mail it to your house as long as you sign up, within the next few days, so that you catch our mailing. And then of course, as Brad mentioned, to subscribe to our show notes, so you get the expanded notes for every episode, you can go to marketingyourattraction.com and sign up there. And I think that's all for this week.
Awesome. We'll see you next episode. Thanks for joining us.